the 2011 Global Information Security Workforce Study, and taking a look at the Chief Information Security Officer perspective. Who'd you talk to in this to get this information from?
Well, worldwide, we talked to almost 11,000 people involved in the security industry. With respect to the U.S. government, we asked for a special extract of the report. And in that area, we talked to about 145 C-level executives.
So this isn't just like five people, and this is a pretty comprehensive look across government at what information security people are thinking in government.
Actually, it is. It's probably the largest, or if not the largest, one of the largest surveys of its type. Anytime you get that many people responding, you feel pretty comfortable about your results.
What was the biggest threat that they talked about as far as their organizations go in government?
Well, the technical threats changed, and the number one and two very closely. Ranked on that were applications and then the mobile devices. And that's probably not surprising to people in the field, but it was interesting to get verification at such a high level.
Mm-hmm. The situation with mobile devices, it's probably not fair to say it's caught people off guard, but I think there are a lot of folks that maybe saw it coming, but maybe not as quickly as it apparently has. Is that fair to say, do you think?
That's probably a good way to characterize it. It's just been hard to imagine and predict the rapid sales of so many of these things. And I think it underscores for all of us the emphasis that the world has put on communication and on data and the way they want to exchange that data now. And it ties in very closely to with social media, which is another big concern of our security people.
What are these information security pros saying about that confluence of events? And then the other element that goes along kind of with the mobile revolution is something that Vivek Kundra talked about not too long ago, which is actually encouraging people to bring in their own pieces of equipment and get them on agency networks. I can imagine when you were the CIO at Interior, if somebody would have said, we're going to let all the employees bring in their own stuff and you're supposed to figure out how to keep it all safe, you probably would have quit that day.
We wouldn't even let them do it at home.
Yeah.
Much less bringing it into the workforce. But times certainly have changed. As a matter of fact, I was on an hour and a half a web cast a day with some experts across the country on this, and it's just amazing the different tactics and management strategies that companies and sections of government are using to try to manage these devices. The architecture is just all over the map.
Are you seeing dramatic differences both in this survey and in your conversations more broadly between what the public sector and the private sector is doing to try to maintain security on their networks?
Not really. And all of them are good tactics. I guess the ones that make you a bit nervous, or at least they certainly would make me nervous, are those who just kind of embrace them with no policies at all. And that goes all the way from the social media to the actually letting so many of these devices come right on into your network.
Well, that's a little shocking to me, I must say, with all the talk that we have, not just on this station, but all over government and in the government media about security, that there are still places where there isn't really a standard protocol.
Well, I think the government, from the results we got back from our research on it, is maybe in front of the pack in terms of recognizing that this is a phenomena that it's here, whether we like it or not, and security people are more often than not in the position of having to say no, but realistically know that they have to accommodate the business needs for this. But the government, the U.S. government particularly, has put some well-thought-out plans in place, and their architectures are within the government space are probably more similar than what we're going to find in the private industry.
I'm going to get you to stick with me for a couple more minutes because there's two more things in this survey that I want to go over with you. And one of them is generated by, or my interest is generated by the incident with Amazon a couple of weeks back as far as cloud computing goes. I want to talk about cloud security. And I also want to talk about, you have some interesting stuff in here about the way that information security pros see kind of the future of their industry with who the next generation of pros are going to be and what's ahead for them. So I want to talk about those with you when we come back, if you can hang around with me, Hord.
Excellent.
All right. It's 5:26 on In Depth with Francis Rose. Coming up, as I mentioned, more with Hord Tipton of ISC Squared, and also in your DOD report at 40 minutes after the hour. Traffic jams on I-395, how to stop them. WTOP's Hank Silverberg has details on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and in your cybersecurity update every weekday afternoon at 30 minutes after the hour. We continue our conversation with Hord Tipton. He's executive director of ISC Squared and the former chief information officer at the Interior Department. And we're talking about the results of a survey among over 140 information security professionals in government that ISC Squared is releasing. Before we get to some of the things that we talked about beforehand about cloud computing and the future of the information security profession, the way people are viewing it, one of the things that one of the places where info security people have been a little bit prickly is the relationship with the CIO. As a former CIO, what makes for a successful relationship with your security people, do you think?
Well, you have to be able to speak their language. And I hope things have changed a bit now, but a few years ago, back before I left the federal government, a lot of CIOs were preoccupied by a lot of things other than security. And there's at least 12 other major areas that you have to focus a lot of your time. And being able to understand the problems of the security people is just paramount on how to integrate and get them working effectively with, let's say, your network people, who often see things a different way and have different objectives other than security. But the relationship, I think, does hinge upon understanding what their needs are.
What did your work yield as far as what information security people think of their profession now, where they see it going, levels of satisfaction, levels of ability to bring in new people to build their teams out, those kinds of things?
Well, we sensed a lot of frustration. First of all, I think that's reflected in one of the biggest surprises coming out of the survey, and that was the projected need for people to actually make them feel comfortable in doing an adequate job of protecting their environments. If you look at the number that we think we have out there, like a little over 2 million, and we need another 2.25 million by 2015. In reality, they know they're really not going to be able to get that many people. The resources just will not support that rapid growth. And there's a lot of competing interests for that. But the new technologies are overwhelming them. They're having to spend large amounts of time just to keep up and try to understand cloud computing. And, you know, cloud computing is not necessarily new. It's been around a long time, and it's a reality. They know the workforce is going to change. They know the dynamics are going to change. And who knows what new version of Facebook they'll be having to deal with next year.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment that I listened as I was listening to a conversation about sports today. It didn't have anything to do with this, with federal stuff, but somebody was mentioning 5 years ago, nobody had any idea about the concept even of something like Twitter, the idea that that kind of instantaneous communication and sending of files and exchanging of information would be even possible, let alone used, deployed to the degree that it is and to the level of sophistication that it is. And so the idea of how you kind of war game that and try to plan ahead for it, it seems to me to just be almost impossible.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing to me that now we see that it's probably universally accepted that information and communication are the most valuable things that we produce and enable. You know, and just checking out the capitalization of Google, Microsoft, Apple, AT&T, Verizon, and a lot of the tech companies, comparing those to the Ford, GM, and Chrysler, you can see that Sun Tao was probably correct. In the art of war, information is critical.
Horde, what else should we know about this report as we go through it? What should we be kind of reading between the lines as we go through it?
It points out a lot of the deficiencies that are common across the world. If you look at the U.S. Section of the report, which is a separate report, you will note, as expected, that the concerns are different. And it makes us feel good to know that our cyber professionals are attuned and alert and concerned about our the nation state attacks. They're concerned about terrorism. They're concerned about the critical national infrastructure. So they have their concerns in the right place. And I just appreciate them working as hard as they do.